the growing role of yoga. Hollywood movies may depict people who practice yoga as hippy-dippy, tree-hugging flower children, but that is no longer the case, if it ever was. Yoga is now mainstream. A recent National Institutes of Health study found that 9.5% of American adults do yoga, 21 million people. And why not? It can benefit your strength, flexibility, and balance, reduce chronic pain, and lower stress levels. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will learn more about yoga, the different types, how to get started, who might benefit from it, and how it's being used in medical settings and the workplace. Are you a yogi? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. For many people, yoga brings a sense of balance, strength, and tranquility. For those who have never tried yoga, the idea of doing it might be intimidating. But yoga has become more commonplace, and more types of yoga classes are readily available. Joining me to share the latest news from the world of yoga, Tish Bremner. She is founder of Inner Light Yoga of Maine and the Maine School of Yoga in Lewiston, and is a certified yoga therapist. And Andrea Gleason is event director of Maine Yoga Fest and the owner of Scarborough Yoga. As always, we want to hear from you. Have you thought about doing yoga but haven't given it a shot? If so, what's holding you back? If you are a yoga aficionado, what would you say to encourage others to try it? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Thank you both for being here today. And I'll just start by finding out how each of you got into yoga. Andrea, is this something you've been doing for decades or not so much?
Well, I've been doing yoga for about 10 years. I actually was doing triathlons and was so tight. My chiropractor said, "You can do more for yourself than I can do for you. Go do yoga." And that was the start of it.
So you weren't somebody who came to this, had always thought about it, always wanted to try. It was a medical professional saying to you, get in a studio.
It was absolutely. It was a chiropractor saying, you can do more for yourself. And I was so type A and so driven and so working out, never took the time to stretch because I was training so much that it was always get the workout in, get the workout in, get the workout in. But it was, that was everything too. Work was busy, family's busy, workouts are a lot. And I started going to yoga and it was, oh, I've got space. I've got not just space in my body. I've got space, like it created breathing room in my life. Mm. And then again, the way I'm wired, it's the, oh, if I'm going to do yoga, then I'm going to learn how to teach yoga. And if I'm going to learn how to teach yoga, then I'm going to have a studio. And then as a studio owner and the gals who had started the Maine Yoga Fest said, oh, hey, we have this opportunity. And so it just kind of snowballs from there.
Okay. What about you, Tisha?
So I started practicing yoga when I was 17, and it literally felt like I found my way home. And practiced it through meditation, through mindfulness, through the philosophical readings, as well as the poses, and really turning my attention inward. And then when I was in my 30s, I started at the Bay Club, practicing locally in Portland with one of my favorite teachers, and developed, I would say, more of a challenging practice at that point. So got a little bit away from the philosophy, but more into the physical components of yoga. And then I was working at a job that I wasn't super happy with and decided one day that I was going to become a teacher. And I did two 200-hour programs back-to-back over the course of a couple of years, left my job, started teaching full-time, which was super scary, but it was also incredibly empowering. And then after about teaching for 10 years, I noticed that I started having a lot of opinions about teachers, and founded the Maine School of Yoga. And, you know, it's taken off from there. So that's essentially my path.
What's your philosophy at the school?
So my philosophy is that movement is medicine and alignment heals. And I think that the answers lie within us. You know, the pieces that we're looking for lie within us. And I believe that yoga can teach us to move well, to breathe well, to be still well, to do well, and to be well. And those are, I think, components that people are looking for in life. And so coming to a yoga class, utilizing the breath and the movement and the mindfulness can empower them to take them to the place that they're most seeking.
All right. So yoga is a pretty big term. And I want to talk a little bit about the different kinds of yoga. People hear these phrases from vinyasa to Bikram to Hatha yoga. So a little bit of a primer, Andrea.
Oh, gosh. It's, as you said, there are so many different styles. And I think when you're first exploring yoga, what you see probably most present out there would be a vinyasa style. It's kind of the traditional moving through the warrior poses. And that's coming at it from a physical practice. I mean, I came into it as an athlete. So that was what I saw. Now, however many years later, I see it more as a connecting practice. So I myself teach predominantly yin these days, but I see it really as something that connects all the pieces, the breath with the body, with the mind, just that pulls it all together.
And what is yin?
So when you think of, I think the best way to describe it is you think of that yin and yang symbol where you've got kind of that half circle of black and that half circle of white with a little bit of each color on either side. And we all know how to exercise the body, the active side of the body. That's your biking, your running, your swimming, your walking, your jumping, your skipping, your whatever you're doing. You're exercising your muscles, your vinyasa flow, your active yoga practices. You get your blood pumping. The yin side of your body would be that cooler side. It's your joints, your ligaments, your connective tissue, your fascia. That isn't going to be exercised the same way. It's going to be a longer hold. It's going to be anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes, and you're just on your edge of resistance. So it's, in the extreme, it would be like orthodontia. It would be braces. Mm-hmm. You think about that. You actually change the shape of your jaw over the course of braces, of wearing braces. Mm-hmm. And the yin practice is that long hold that helps to increase the range of motion by stressing those cooler tissues that don't respond to that active movement.
Is it hard for type A's like yourself to transition to a yin practice?
So my teacher, Jackie Vonwell, had described it as when you first start to meditate or when you first start to be present in your body, that quiet stillness, it's like driving 100 miles an hour and then slamming on the brakes and everything in the back of your brain comes to the front. So true.
So Tish, I know that you work in a medical setting sometimes. Tell me about how medical practitioners will come to you, how yoga can be therapeutic. Who are you helping? Who are the patients who become your clients?
Yeah, so I work at the local hospitals in Lewiston, and I teach a wide variety of classes there. I teach three sort of basic classes. The first is a therapeutic class where I get most of my referrals for doctors, patients who have low back injury or shoulder or neck injuries, and for exactly what Andrew was saying, for people who need to slow down, turn within, and look to the mind-body benefits of yoga. Then I teach an all-levels class, which is more like an introductory to moving and to breathing and to being in the body. And then I teach an intermediate class where we're exploring some of the more challenging poses while integrating the mind-body aspects of the practice in to slow things down, to be in the moment, to slow the mind down, to be more present in the body, but to sort of see where your growth edge is.
Who is a candidate for yoga and who maybe ought not to try it?
I think that, honestly, to me, yoga is one of the best practices that we have today, physically, mentally, emotionally, and for some people, spiritually. I think it's very important to understand that yoga is broad-reaching and has many aspects. And the meaning of yoga really is about how to integrate the different parts of yourself. Yoga means to yoke. And so anyone who is basically looking to pull themselves together into more of a cohesive whole can do that. And there's an eightfold path called the Ashtanga path, which means that there are practices in awareness, there are practices in breathing, there are practices in moving, there are three steps to meditation, there are personal practices of integrity and practices of integrity in terms of how you treat other people. So when we talk about yoga, it's eight things and more. I think the people who are candidates are potentially anyone who's looking to pull themselves together more to step into a state of flow. So that's also very broad reaching. And it's important to find a teacher who can help guide you there, a class that is appropriate for what you're looking for. So we hear the term vinyasa used a lot, and I do teach some classes in a vinyasa style, that's going to be more vigorous than a therapeutic class. And then, you know, sometimes I often get calls from patients who are being referred to me by their doctors, sometimes just having that one-on-one therapeutic private class is the most appropriate for, you know, what the person is looking for. So I always try to get a sense of how much exercise, how much movement has someone done, and what are they really looking for? Because typically there's a piece that feels off center, and that's what draws people to yoga.
Go ahead, Andrea.
I think yoga is one of those ones that is accessible to everybody. There is a style and a teacher who will speak to anybody. Mm-hmm. And it could be as gentle as they just need some quiet space. And meditation seems too daunting, but they could go to a restorative class, which is really about a very gentle opening of the body. Or it could be somebody who says, gee, I've been in PT for my hips or for my IT band and my physical therapist or my doctor suggests that I come do yoga. That's how I landed there. My chiropractor said, go do yoga. I didn't know what that meant at the time. It was like, oh, okay, sign me up.
So I think there are all sorts of reasons people don't try it. One, maybe they don't even know where to start. They hear about all the names and they don't even know what would be appropriate for them. But I think another reason would be that they feel kind of self-conscious. What do you say to people who come to a class and everyone else seems to know what they're doing and I just fell over three times and I feel like everybody's looking at me?
I think that's a really common deterrent for people to not go to class. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
But quite honestly, there are, I would say, stages of a yoga practitioner, and having beginner's mind is the first stage, right? And so a good teacher hopefully will provide a context for people to be totally uncertain and to provide language that is plain and explicit so you know to reach your right arm up to the sky or out to the side. Do you know what I'm saying? So there is opportunity for lots of people to touch base and check in with different teachers and styles.
And how would you recommend, Andrea? You know, Maine Calling is a statewide program. I think there's certain pockets of Maine where there's all sorts of selection for yoga classes, but other places in Maine where if people live in a rural area, there may not be that. Is there something online? Are there videos? Are there is there a network where one can reach out and try to find a yoga practitioner or teacher near you?
So I when I look at organizing the Maine Yoga Fest, part of what we did was really look at the yoga community in Maine and create a map for here are all the studios that are in Maine. And there's definitely a heavier concentration in the southern part of the state, particularly in the Portland and greater Portland area. But there are a lot of yoga practitioners everywhere. You can always Google search it. You may find one or two. They may speak to you. They may not. There are online options. That was how I got into the yin practice. I actually had a frozen shoulder, and I had to find something that worked for me. And I started doing yin and fell completely in love with it. But I was using, not to promote all kinds of softwares or sites or whatnot, but yogaglow.com. They had like 20 different teachers, 15 different styles. And again, I think it's finding that teacher and that style that resonates with what you need at that point in your life.
Mm-hmm. Is the map you created something that's available online?
No, not yet. Now it's sitting in my Vistaprint portfolio to get printed. It's a banner. Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that's terrific.
You know what? Actually, I'll take the image and I'll get it up on our website. But it was really cool. It just shows how many yoga studios there are in Maine. I think we have a fabulous community.
We do. And to speak to that, I actually created five DVDs that speak to some of the most common questions and areas of concerns that people have that bring them to yoga. So I have a core strength yoga DVD, one for low back health, one for neck and shoulders, a vinyasa, and a chair yoga DVD.
What is chair yoga, Tish?
It's using a chair to practice, either to sit in or to help assist with balance.
Well, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, your comments and questions. We're talking about yoga on Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Norris, helping businesses and schools stay safe through engineered security, life safety, and emergency communication systems. NorrisInc.com. Evergreen Home Performance, offering energy-efficient windows and insulation to help homeowners achieve year-round comfort. More at evergreenyourhome.com. And the Lincoln Home in Newcastle, committed to providing gracious retirement living on the Damariscotta River. Learn more at lincoln-home.org.
On the Mexico side of the Texas border, President Trump's strict immigration policies are driving up the prices that human smugglers can charge.
It used to cost $1,000 to take them to Houston. Now it costs $10,000.
I'm Ari Shapiro, reporting from the Mexican city of Matamoros this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered, each weekday evening from 4 to 6:30.
Hi, Sarah Willis here with a word or two about growth. Growth is what happens when you hear new music that you weren't aware of, and it becomes a favorite. Growth is what happens when you learn about events and issues that are taking place and come away with a better understanding of it and how it affects your life and our world. And that is what public radio does each and every day. It helps us grow. And this service has grown over the years to become what it is today, the essential service we count on and trust, because listener support from listeners like you has made it possible. Won't you please do your part? Let's grow together. Contribute financially now at mainpublic.org or on Super Thursday, August 2nd. And thank you.
And Super Thursday is tomorrow, August 2nd, but you don't have to wait for then. You can contribute right now at mainpublic.org or by calling 1-800-866-1475.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, all about yoga in Maine. Joining me today, Andrea Gleason, who's owner of Scarborough Yoga and event director of the Maine Yoga Fest, and Tish Bremner, founder of Inner Light Yoga of Maine and Maine School of Yoga in Lewiston. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Before the break, we were talking about what to do if you want to get started and either you feel self-conscious or maybe you have some physical limitations. Andrea, what's your advice?
Call the studios. Find a studio that's near you. Find a teacher. Call them up and ask. Just say, I'm new to yoga. This is what I've got going on. The teachers want you to land in the right place. They'll make recommendations. And when you go to the class, and you can always look for a smaller studio, too. If you're really self-conscious, go to some of the smaller studios. Down at Scarborough Yoga, we might have 4 people in a class, or we might have 18 people in a class. And it varies depending on which class it is and what time of day it is. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's easier to start in a small studio or with a small class.
All right. We're going to try to go to Jessica in Brunswick. Shoot. I seem to be having a little trouble with my computer program, so our software here. So we will go to Jessica in just a minute. But first, we'll just talk to you all about, is there an age range of people who can do yoga?
Yes. Unlimited.
Yeah. That's what I would say. Kids yoga, oh my God, they love
so much
it.
Fun.
They make up names for the poses. They're, a friend of mine's son said, yum, for his own. Then you get the people who have been practicing for decades, and they're beautiful. My God, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Tish, have you used to teach a prenatal class, correct?
I
do you still do that?
I do not. But yeah, I think, you know, it can start in the womb. Yes, I used to teach locally in Portland a prenatal class, as well as a baby and me class. And I do teach story time yoga or storybook yoga, where I, you know, read a book to the kids. I'm doing this actually at my granddaughter's school in Turner, where I read a book to the kids and then we practice yoga poses together, you know, to retell the story through our bodies. So, and I agree. My oldest yoga student is 98 years old. So it's the full spectrum, right? If you think about what life is movement. And yoga in its breathing and its, you know, being. And so yoga contains all of those components.
We think Jessica might be there. Jessica, can you hear us? Jessica, oh, shoot. Andrew, tell me about the Maine Yoga Fest. I know we missed it this year.
Oh, that's all right. You'll come next year. So it's actually this coming year, 2019, will be its 7th year. My business partner and I acquired it not this past year, the year before. So it's my 2nd year running it. Mm-hmm. It's the weekend before the 4th of July. It's at the East End Community Center in Portland, which is a LEED certified school. They're very mm-hmm. green. We've got garbage garden there. Everything's all, we don't have water bottles. We've got a water fountain with the Portland Water District, but we've got 6 concurrent offerings. 4 times a day on Saturday, 3 times a day on Sunday, everything from aerial yoga to paddleboard yoga to meditation to Ashtanga to restorative, acro yoga where you do it with partners, Thai massage yoga. We got into the chakras. It's there's something there for everyone, and it's different going to a festival. It's a festival. It's a celebration of being.
And Andrea, what I really love that you have done is that you have made yoga so accessible through the Maine Yoga Fest. And I want to also put a shout out to Katie Bean as well, because sometimes people feel as if they're the wrong body shape or body size. And what I think that Maine Yoga Festival does in some of the movement around curvy yoga or yoga for all is to say, hey, yoga is everyone. And I have this little running joke that you don't have to be 22, size 2, 5'2 to practice yoga. But that's the image maybe that we see, and that intimidates
sure.
us from trying. So a good teacher will use invitational language that makes and offer variations that empowers the student to choose well for themselves so that they gain all of the mind-body benefits of the practice rather than feeling like, oh, I have to take my elbow to my thigh, and that's just, for whatever reason, not a possibility.
Since we're having a little trouble with calls, we're going to start with a tweet. This is from Montana. Montana writes, yoga is a very useful tool in healing from physical and emotional trauma as well.
Yes.
Is that true? And if so, why is that?
So there's also a new movement called trauma-informed or trauma-sensitive yoga. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I think it's so therapeutic is that the facilitator, right, the language changes in a class like that. This facilitator uses just what I said with the curvy body practice, invitational language to put the practitioner into their own body, into their own senses, and to begin to develop an interoception relationship or an interoceptive relationship with really knowing how you feel and what is happening within and what the best choices are. And so I feel like trauma-sensitive yoga has a place in every yoga class to empower students to look within and to choose. And if you think of people who've been through traumatic experiences, I mean, I feel like life can be traumatic to begin with, but if you look at larger traumatic issues, what you do to preserve your mind and your body is you shut down. And so the practice of yoga or trauma-informed yoga allows you in a safe way to choose where to go, how deep to go. And in that reconnection of the relationship with yourself, the healing happens.
Now I'm going to try to go to Helene McLaughlin. Helene, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful. So nice to hear your voice.
Hi, Helene.
Hi. Helene is an author, a school counselor in Topsom and yoga teacher, and has a new book. It's called Calm and Alert, Yoga and Mindfulness Practices to Teach Self-Regulation and Social Skills to Children. And I want to appreciate you not only calling, but being persistent with the software problems we have. Tell us about your book. How did that come about?
Well, I am a school counselor and have been for about 27 years. And I've always worked in an elementary school in that role. And I've been a longtime yoga practitioner and a certified teacher for about 10 years. And about 15 years ago, I wanted to bring the practices to the children that I worked with because I was concerned for them. I was seeing many more children who had difficulty regulating their emotions, keeping themselves safe and being around other people safely, which is what self-regulation refers to.
How different is yoga for children than adults?
Well, it's different in that it is very playful, that, you know, their attention spans are so much shorter, and you have all the challenges of teaching a whole group of children, you know, making sure they stay engaged and focused. So my program, Common Alert, has lots of different elements to it. There's lots of songs and games and I use the practices to teach many of the things that a school counselor turns their attention toward, you know, like getting along well with other people, which the connectivity of yoga lends itself to very well. My main message is that you have your mind, your body, and your breath as a tool with you every minute of every day. And that's a message even very young children can come to understand and practice. So for the body, I teach just all the self-awareness, some of the things that your other guests have been discussing, but keeping it quite simple and playful. And then for the mind, I teach different kinds of thoughts that can help you or not help you. I call helpful thoughts clear thoughts and unhelpful thoughts muddy thoughts, which they can grasp that concept. And we all know about that. And then the breath, of course, is a big part of any yoga practice. And even one calm breath, that's what's been astounding at the school that we have seen, that just getting kids to breathe deeply and carefully can change a whole situation in just moments.
Well, Helene, thanks so much for joining us. Helene McLaughlin is an author, school counselor, and yoga teacher, and she's the author of the new book, Calm. I think I have this wrong, Calm and Alert, Yoga and Mindfulness Practices to Teach Self-Regulation and Social Skills to Children. I want to go to an email from Marlene. I do laughter yoga and love it. Do it with a group in Portland. What do your guests think of laughter yoga?
Fantastic.
I love it.
My the chair yoga class that I teach at Seniors Plus in Lewiston, we typically end up laughing, and I quite regularly, and I feel like it's part of the therapeutic aspect of yoga. And I always say that I just tell bad jokes, and I literally do, and I reference my darling husband on a regular basis, you know, and the funny things about our relationship to get everyone super motivated and playful and to have fun and to not take themselves so seriously, because I think otherwise, you know, the context of coming into a class can be really super intimidating. And all we are doing together is breathing well, moving well, and being still well and doing our best.
I find on that too, it's when you talk about it being intimidating coming in, particularly as a yoga teacher, it's being accessible. I'm not going to just talk to you in Sanskrit.
Exactly.
It's not going to be. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes there are poses that are kind of funny.
Yeah.
And it's having that connection with your class, knowing when to hold space and when to kind of chuckle and give them permission to laugh too. I think laughter is so healing and so healthy, and it just makes it fun. When you go to class, it should be fun. It shouldn't just all be, I'm so serious, I don't want to cough too loudly because somebody's going to look at me.
Right, right. Exactly.
I'm going to try now to go to Jessica in Brunswick. Jessica, are you still there?
I am.
Oh, yay. Oh, thanks for holding on. Go ahead.
So I teach for a nonprofit called the Liberation Institute, and we offer a nationally accredited yoga teacher training in the Maine State Prison. And I just think it's really exciting to offer, you know, this body of work that's been utilized for such a long, long period of time to really help people that are displaced and dislocated or those that are traumatized and living in the trauma response.
So, Jessica, you're teaching people who are incarcerated to become yoga teachers?
Yes, we graduated our first class this past October.
Wow.
Six men. And this year we had eight more men going towards their 200-hour level. It's a nationally accredited yoga teacher training. And four of our previous graduates from October are continuing on to go towards their 500-hour level.
Wow.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
You should absolutely connect with Sea Change Yoga. Mm-hmm. They're not doing
teaching. I have. They're
okay,
so
good.
Lovely. Yeah.
They're not doing the teacher trainings, but they're doing the teachings. And it's the same thing. It's for people who have experienced trauma. And it's not just trauma like you're at. It's the it's people who are incarcerated, people who are in recovery, people who need
domestic violence survivors. Yeah. But their focus, from what I understand, too, is that they're working with prisons, with local prisons.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what a healing modality.
One of the really exciting things about what we're doing, and I think yoga in any way is beneficial to people, whether you're coming in to do it or whether or not it's something being done within its own community, but to empower other individuals to do it for themselves, so
absolutely,
other communities. So in teaching them to offer it and be of service within their own communities is really exciting.
Well, I think a primary teaching of yoga is discernment, right? And so, like, we have the tools within ourselves to discern. You know, the world happens around us, but it's very much shaped by our viewpoints. And so yoga will teach you to take a step back and to see what's happening within you, to see what's happening around you, and to choose to either buy into the story, which takes you down the rabbit hole, or to step away from the story and not engage in things that are unhelpful, and to rather point your compass in a way that is more helpful to yourself, more helpful to your kids, to your husband, to the people that you work with. And I feel like that's a primary component and a primary lesson that we all could really benefit from in our society.
Jessica, thanks so much for calling in. You know, we have, it's funny that you called in and that you, Andrea, mentioned Sea Change Yoga because we have an email from them. Sea Change writes in, Megan writes in, studies have shown yoga practice aids in the substance use recovery process. Here in Maine, Sea Change Yoga, a nonprofit yoga service organization, brings trauma-informed yoga to people in substance use treatment recovery centers. Our mission is to bring the healing powers of yoga to folks otherwise unable to access its many benefits. Yoga is a powerful vehicle for healing. Now, another call now. We're going to go to Belinda. Belinda, where are you calling from?
Hi. I'm calling from Bangor. And this is really exciting. We have a wonderful, wonderful, healthy group in Bangor for yoga. There's a studio absolutely everywhere throughout the greater area, so it's quite remarkable. But I take chair yoga. I am 67 and overweight, and I have four separate diagnoses of arthritis. So chair yoga is what works for me because I don't have to get on the floor and try to get up, which I can't do, and everything that goes along with that. And I made had to make peace with chronic pain a very, very long time ago. And I can say that on the day that I take the chair yoga class, I actually have no pain for the rest of the day. So it has a remarkable effect for the extreme of disease that I have, you know, in my system. I have a wonderful one. Her name is Katie as well, a wonderful yoga teacher up here. She's teaching a whole bunch of elderly women. She's young. She's not skinny. She's delightful. She gives a wonderful little wee Dharma talk at the end of each session, which I love. And I think that the women in my class love as well because she's always got wonderful words to say. But we have all been really benefited by the chair yoga. And if I wish I'd done it much earlier. I'm a swimmer, but the yoga has made such an incredible difference in the intensity of my pain level. And I would say to anyone who's afraid of it, start with a chair. There's no embarrassment there.
Belinda, this is Andrea. One thing that you said just brings to mind for me, the best advice I ever got from a yoga teacher was you're here in today's body. Not the body you had 2 years ago, not the body you want to have this summer, not the body you even had 2 weeks ago. So it's with whatever you've got going on for aches and pains, for issues, for hydration, for sleep, emotionally, right? Even that, because all those emotions reside in our body and they just sit there. And it's to acknowledge that without ego, just to accept, oh, this is where I am, allows you to access that and it makes it work.
Mm-hmm. Belinda, thanks so much for your call. We're going to go to another break. This is Maine Calling. We're talking yoga.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Simply Sized Home, downsizing and moving management specialists serving Southern and Midcoast Maine. Learn more at simplysizedhome.com. Faderly Law, dedicated to providing effective counsel on all matters of land use and real estate in Maine. Learn more at faderlylawmaine.com. And Maine Masonic Charitable Foundation, supporting Maine Public Radio's efforts to provide knowledge, wisdom, and entertainment to the people of Maine.
When you wake up each morning, chances are good your eyes are opened in another way, too, by listening to Morning Edition. Hi, this is Erwin Gratz. This public radio service helps you become aware, to understand, to learn, basically to grow as you go about your morning. Morning Edition feeds your curiosity and need to know and understand what's going on. And public radio depends on you to stay strong and grow as well. It's an essential service, seemingly becoming more important each and every day, that runs on listener support. So let's grow together. If you haven't already, please support this station financially right now at mainpublic.org or on Super Thursday, our upcoming one-day campaign on August 2nd. And thanks.
And join us at 2 o'clock following Maine Calling for Ideas from the CBC. Today, Ideas features the voices of three Indigenous people whose lives embody the changing relationship between First Nations and the rest of Canada, and all in their own words. That's Ideas coming up after Maine Calling here on Maine Public Radio.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, we are learning about yoga. My guests are Tish Bremner with Inner Light Yoga of Maine and Maine School of Yoga, and Andrea Gleason with Scarborough Yoga and Maine Yoga Fest. Join our conversation. Give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. You know, we were talking during the break, if we're going to have software problems, it's going to be when we have yoga teachers on the show, because you all are as calm as can be.
Totally.
I'm so impressed. But I think we have this under control, so we're going to go to Bradley from Appleton. Hi, Bradley. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks a lot for another great show. Really interesting. I'm approaching a half a century, rather, of a yoga odyssey. as a teenager in the Midwest in the 70s with a seizure disorder, I discovered the work of Elmer and Alice Green at the Menninger Foundation in Topeka, Kansas. I think they probably made the first documentary film on yoga and really as relates to science, and followed that field up through Herbert Benson's work in the 1980s. Joined him in Boston for a while after college. Having successfully used yoga for seizures, hyperactivity, stress, and then later in my 30s and 40s for back pain, I have been a Tai Chi teacher for a lot of my adult life and have very rarely attended classes. My wife studied with Patricia Walden for many years, but I have often just done my own thing since early classes in the 70s. I wanted to give a three cheers for encouraging people to try online if they can't do anything else. There's a ton of interesting and fun people online. Just watch a few different videos and see if anything catches your eye.
Bradley, thanks so much for calling in. And there's sort of a, you know, someone can watch online, but it really is if you are able to access a qualified teacher, you would recommend that, though, I'm guessing, right, Andrea?
Well, you know what? It depends. It depends on where you are. I think sometimes online might be a good place to start. You're in the comfort of your home. You're there. You at least get a taste for it. There's something different for being in a studio to have that community there and to see the same students in the classes with you and get to know people. And you're all kind of there because you're wellness minded.
And so, I feel like at the heart of it, you are your own best teacher, but I equate finding a teacher to traveling. You know, every time I go to a new city, I grab a map, right? And when I was in Rome the last time, the map only showed the bigger streets. The map wasn't the territory, you know? And so I was trying to find a street, and it was supposed to be four streets down, but really it was nine. So the teacher is the map, but your personal exploration is the territory of the content of the practice. So there's a relationship that happens in both ways. And so maybe doing something online, you can use enough discernment to choose if what the teacher is recommending that you do or teaching, that it's right for you or not. But other people need a little bit more encouragement and a little, you know, more connection. So
is there, though, a risk of injuring yourself?
Absolutely.
There's not somebody there keeping an eye on you and saying, look, your knee doesn't, you know, your knee needs to be here and
Absolutely.
Not there. You're
yeah.
going to hurt
or
yourself.
Your shoulders or your hips. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I think the teacher becomes really valuable. And also, I think the teacher can happen in so many forms. You know, depending on the style of yoga, your teacher might be a little bit more forceful or a little bit more gentle. And depending on where you are, you may not, you know, we always sit in our own blind spots, right? So you may not know where the next place for you to go is. And so having a teacher to guide you either with a little bit of push or a little bit of hand-holding, I think is really good.
We're going to go to Ajit calling from Island Falls. Hi, Ajit. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, Ajit.
Hi,
it's Andrea.
Yes. Hi. Oh, it's so nice to hear your voice.
She taught at the Yoga Fest this year.
Yes. Wonderful. I really love all the conversations. And, you know, you had asked at the beginning about who yoga is good for. And I just think that the people calling in just seem like from children to adults. It's so good for all ages. And I wanted to also bring in the idea of home practice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people had talked about, you know, being in the studio, and then we just had that conversation about online. And I'm 60. I've been practicing for 30 years, and I had the good fortune to study with an Indian master and also now study with a Western American woman. And I find that I've done children's yoga and been a kids performer, but who I started to focus on were the parents, because my yoga teacher had said to me, you can open up these children, and I teach at the libraries, and I encourage the parents to get down on the floor with the kids. And as the woman who was the counselor was saying, you know, to be playful. And then I find in my practice, I began to call myself a yoga wife, like a midwife, and sort of helping people move through finding their own yoga practice at home, mm-hmm. so that, yes, they're going to go to the studio, and yes, they're going to have a teacher, but also I find that I work one-on-one with a lot of people, and I'm up in Island Falls, by the way, at Schoolhouse Yoga Retreat, and we're a great, you know, an hour and a half north of Bangor, but we attract a lot of men and women who want to just come and retreat. But I just wanted to talk about the home practice and the idea of really taking it home. The woman who said she was in a lot of pain, and after she did that class, how her pain went away. And I hear that all the time. And so my goal is, how can we do that every day, twice a day, you know, at like bookends on our day?
Absolutely. I feel like yoga is definitely an approach to life, an approach to healing, and very much can be integrated into our daily lives and our daily routines by being mindful. And I first, when I was 17, almost 30 years ago, learned to meditate when I was doing things, like to become mindful, to become aware. And so that's one piece of it. But hey, there's nothing to say that you can't take your hands to the countertop when you're in the kitchen and you have low back pain and stretch your spine long and bend your knees and to alleviate some of that pain. So for sure, I'm actually working on a project right now with a local manufacturing company, and they're looking to implement an injury prevention program. And so to stretch before work and after lunch. But where I see some other opportunities is, hey, when those guys are on the line and their wrists start bothering them, how can we use the line there, the benches, to help stretch wrists and to help stretch side bodies and backs and hamstrings to keep people healthy and well? So I've maybe oversold the program now, but it will make a very big difference. Using, you know, like three stretches. Here are the three stretches that you can do mid-break if your shoulders are hurting you or your wrists are hurting you, or if you're feeling it in your low back or if you're feeling it in your hips. So, and it's a process. Yoga is integration. It's like, how can you keep yourself growing, moving, being well, happy, healthy, whole?
Mike sends an email. Hi, I'm from Portland. I'm listening to today's Maine Calling program about yoga. I'm wondering how each of these teachers grapples with the fact that yoga is a form with roots in South Asia, now practiced predominantly by white people in their settings. There's a fine line between cultural appropriation and really respecting a non-Western art form. How do each of these teachers grapple with the fact they're engaging in an art/spiritual form that's not theirs?
I feel like it is ours. So when I first came to yoga, I felt like I was coming home, like I had been there before, I'd been in that practice. And if you really look at the roots of yoga, it's a practice that is evolving. So it started out as an oral tradition by seers observing life. That's where the roots are. They just happen to maybe be in Asia, but there are lots of other cultures that have done that as well. If you think about like Christian mystics, things have evolved differently. So there are three primary philosophical approaches to yoga, or philosophical timelines to yoga. And, you know, the first being classical, which is really sort of grappling with this idea of spirit and matter. Like, are we the soul or are we the body? And that approach, you know, started out by saying, oh, we're the soul and that's more important. And then we came into a second period of yoga, which is Advaita Vedanta, that is really more in alignment with Buddhism and says essentially that our bodies and our experiences are all illusions and that, you know, we are something bigger than that. And I wouldn't disagree with this, but then the third evolution of yoga is the tantric evolution that says, hey, everything is for our awakening and our bodies are vehicles to understanding the capacity that we have, as well as our minds, as well as our hearts, as well as our spirits. So yoga is very evolutionary, and I feel like Western culture has integrated it more into the culture and the needs of society, and I actually feel like we're doing it an honor.
We're going to try to squeeze in one more call. Mark in Portland, go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking this call. I'm not going to spend any time beating my drum or touting what I've been doing, but this is year 50 for my personal yoga practice and year 41 for my teaching. And I've taught all over the world, from China to Managua, Nicaragua, and Western Europe, and a couple of Indian masters. The one who I didn't get to teach with, Krishnamacharya, the teacher of Iyengar, Patabi Joyce, and Desikachar. He said this before he died at 101 in 1989. Women are the new vanguard of yoga, and they now carry the lamp of yoga through the world. And I have to say, having taught everywhere and all over the place, most of the people who are and have been my students have been women, and very few men, but everybody benefits. And I think that it's a wonderful thing to have hosted this program on Main Public Broadcasting, and it warms my heart.
Well, thank you so much, Mark. And it is interesting to say, if one goes to a large yoga class, there are a handful of guys usually, but it is predominantly women. Why is that?
I think it's because yoga today is a little bit more westernized, and I feel like as a woman, I hold the culture of my family, and the practices of yoga integrate with the culture of the family, of, like, you know, being kind and holding good space, and the way that I kind of, like, set the tone in my family, you know, and that involves lots of different practices of awareness and of being.
It's one of those things, even when I look at the statistics for the Main Yoga Fest, the attendance is about 89% female. And the age ranges from anywhere in the teens up into the 80s. But it is predominantly women. The Facebook interactions are predominantly women, about the same percentage. It's 90%. I don't know if it's easier to check your ego at the door, because I do think that there is, if you're going to a class sometimes, if you're brand new to yoga and the class you've picked is a vigorous vinyasa class, it can be intimidating to step in that. And I think women are, and I'm making a generalization here, but I think women are more supportive of other women. I think it's a softer, it's an easier way to step into something with a group of women.
And I also think that that some guys, or the perception out there is that from men, is that they're not going to get a lot out of the practice.
And they would be surprised.
I love it, because it's always like the bulkier bodybuilder who comes into the practice, and they are shaking the most and sweating the most and the most exacerbated. So I think, like, that whole concept of integration, yoga teaches us to be incredibly strong on many levels, to be incredibly flexible on many levels, and to be whole.
And that is our last word. You guys were terrific guests.
Thank you.
Tish Bremner, you just heard her voice, founder of Inner Light Yoga of Maine and the Maine School of Yoga, and Andrea Gleason, event director of the Maine Yoga Fest and Scarborough Yoga. John Keimel ran the board today. The program is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.